Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, first half, we break down all the game film on the debate. Pretty thoughtful analysis, stuff you probably won't hear other places. And Jay Moore as well, news, all that coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online. The wait, it is finally over. We're here. Football season. It's up and running. Good. Get going with Bet Online. Got good games coming up this weekend. You got the Vikings and the Texans and the Steelers and the Titans and the Bills and the Raiders. I like the Patriots and the Chiefs. That seems like a good game. I kind of like the Patriots there. I think they're giving away a touchdown. Chargers and at the Buccaneers, Eagles at 49ers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props, and get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures as well. Head to BetOnline. Do it today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code Podcast One. Sign up for your bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by Bet Online, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jay Moore. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario with the sports, and now, a hot mess inside a dumpster fire inside a train wreck. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. A mandate. You get it on. Jay Moore's coming in, always bringing the heat, so we'll talk to him in a couple of few. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I'm trying to get it together. Boy, there's so many smart guys.
That's Gavin McInnes from The Zoe Show.
I love that. We will get in. We'll do a little armchair quarterbacking on the debate, or the much anticipated debate. Everyone who hears this has heard everyone's take on the debate by now. Hopefully, maybe we'll bring some slightly different angles to it. I listened to the first part in the car, and it was like,
imagine listening to it on the just without seeing
it. We aired it completely.
Oh my god!
I was probably listening to KFI, and it was some of the worst radio ever created. Because I realized, first things first, I have this sort of grounding in improv and sketch and yes and you know, not only that, but and then also doing so many years of radio that the number one sin is talking over the other person and everyone just sort of talking at once. I marvel at those Sunday morning talk shows on the TV, political shows or evening shows or whatever, and they do the panel of people, and you got this guy over there and that gal over there, and at some point all of them at the same time are going, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And it's like, would you shut up and let the other, how's this ever going to work? You have a point, you want to make a point. How can you ever make that point if you're shouting it simultaneously when the narrators and your opponent? It was fucking weird and uncomfortable at the beginning. I was trying to figure out, like, Trump and his mindset. And I think what was going on with Trump.
I was, too.
I think what was going on with Trump is Trump, however you want to break it down, somebody did break it down. And I think maybe 18 out of the top 10 news agencies are basically anti-Trump. So he has to sit there and hear it all.
18 out of 10?
20, sorry. 18 out of 20. I know, it feels like 18 out of 10. I think 18 out of the 20, if you took the New York Times and the LA Times and CNN or whatever, there's Fox and maybe the, I don't know what that story is. Maybe the, I'm Wall Street Journal, maybe, or something like that. But he has to sit and hear shit about himself nonstop, 24/7. I think it builds up. I think it builds up, and I think he just was going to go out there and like purge, like finally prime time CNN. Here's what's here. I'm going to get it all out in the first 5 minutes. Like he went off like a Piccolo Pete. Like I feel like he's just also. I don't think he understands what a debate is. I think he thinks a debate. And I'm not I'm not a big buyer into when people go, hey, he's a New York knockaround guy. But the New York knockaround guy, like he thinks he's standing on a street corner and somebody called his mom a whore. And then he just dives in and is going to jump. He's going to douse him with verbiage. I don't think he really understands the flow of a debate. Like this person gets. So like if you said. To my buddy Ray, look, we're going to have a debate. And Adam's going to get 2 minutes to talk about you freely. And then you'll, in kind, get 2 minutes to talk about Adam freely. I couldn't get 37 seconds in without him punching me.
Yeah.
It's like that guy. You know what I mean? Like, I can't hear any. So, meaning that guy. So, if you are like a street guy or you're that guy and someone goes, 2 minutes, this person gets to talk, and then you'll get to debate. Then you'll get 2 minutes. So that person goes, well, obviously, if I was voted in, we would get the coronavirus taken care of, get the economy taken care of. Of course, my opponent over here had the worst. That's not true. You know, like they physically
can't stop.
Nobody I went to high school with could stop themselves either. They would jump.
Sure.
They would just jump in. That's what it. By the way, if you said that to a 9-year-old, if you just go, look,
same.
Just sit there. Let your sister say, you know, I came home. The kitchen was a mess. You blame them. They blame you. Just sit quietly, Becky. You get 2 minutes. Let your sister explain what happened. So she'd go, well, when I came home, Susie was making pudding. And then she'd just jump in and go, she's a liar. I think there's that element.
How could he ever sit in like the hot seat in a courtroom and not have just outburst after outburst? I mean, there has to be a way.
Has he ever seen the inside of a courtroom?
No. Probably not.
I'm actually seriously wondering.
I'm sure he's been deposed 7,000 times. Right, but I don't know if he's gotten to the inside of a courtroom.
And I just got an alert that I got right before the show from the AP saying, breaking, the Commission on Presidential Debates, because they had to get involved, says it will add new tools to maintain order to the upcoming debates after a chaotic first contest. Well, so what those are, if it's cutting mics, I don't know.
I honestly,
dumping water.
I was picturing sort of Win Ben Stein's Money, where you'd have to just go into a silent vault, into a booth, and they'd like pipe it in, and then they'd cut the mic and then turn it. They cannot. The mics must be cut. Also, we can't just do this. We can't just separate them. We need plexiglass. We need that kit they put around drums during the Arsenio Hall show.
Or if you want to make it more dignified, we could just do the playoff music when you're giving a speech at the Oscars. And then just a beautiful groundswell of classical music will happen.
So from a professional.
And another thing. Wait.
From a professional broadcaster standpoint, it was like. I felt like I was walking into someone's house and seeing horrible carpentry. Like I felt that same way. Like, ugh, you went with drywall screws on the hinges? Ugh. Like I was so nauseated by the out of the gate clusterfuck.
What's amazing is people I saw, I think it was Ben Shapiro posted like 15 minute by 15 minute incremental ratings. And they actually started off at a certain level, went up a little bit, then went back. You know, they didn't taper off like you'd think it would. You think people would tune out or be kind of fed up or like, what the fuck is this? People watched almost the whole thing.
Yes.
Now, what Trump did is he didn't help his case by being shot out of a cannon because there were a few good points to bring up, and Biden was helped immensely, I think, by Trump in his avalanche of verbiage. And the reason I say that is the whole point was Biden's feeble. He's not thinking clearly. Put him on the spot and let him hang himself with his own extension cord. Like
Whole narrative, the whole gambit for months was Biden has dementia, so just let him talk. That should have been their strategy.
Yeah, because he will average a gaffe every 22 seconds if you just sort of let him go. And so what Trump did, like there was an early one where he was. So here's where I think Trump's coming from. There is, for instance, a new report about a week old, and Max Zapata can figure it out.
But yeah.
Hunter Biden, his son, was involved with the Burisma energy, got paid, got some other people paid, you know, flew to China on like Air Force Two, did a whole bunch of that shit that sounds like it's one of the Trump sons doing it, but it's Biden's son doing it. And it looks pretty bad. Now, it was a report that came out about a week ago, but the mainstream media didn't really pick it up because they're in the Trump business and not really in the torpedo Biden business. It just wasn't a story that made the rounds, even though it was a fairly substantial story and could have been the kind of story that would be a little bit of a game changer if the mainstream had gotten behind it. But nobody, to my knowledge, really got behind it. I don't know if you guys know the report or the story.
Yeah. The fallout I heard was the story was not what the Republicans were hoping, and it was a bit of a dud and just kind of fizzled. But of course, there's many ways to spin that. I can't say that's the answer, but I think that's why it didn't catch on. Certainly Republicans and conservative media would have hyped it quite a bit had it been what they hoped for. But I think it ended up being just some shady sweetheart deal that I assume goes down in politics all the time.
Well, that's the whole point. The conservative media did try to hype it as much as they could, but they're outnumbered, and so it's not going to make it into the zeitgeist. It's not going to make it into the airport, so to speak, you know. And so I think Trump thought, you know what? A story like this may not get coverage on the mainstream media, but now I'm mainstream. This is CNN and NBC and ABC and primetime, and I'm on a primetime stage. I'm not doing an interview with Hannity, and I'm going to take this thing that I've been. So Trump probably sits around and goes, I don't get it. This is a big story. How come CNN doesn't talk about it? Then he feels like he's being discriminated against. So would you have the story first? There's a story.
Yeah. So last week, what's called a bombshell report. It's from the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and the Committee on Finance. They have these new allegations on Hunter Biden saying he got like $3.5 million wired to him from the Moscow mayor's wife, that he paid suspects allegedly tied to trafficking, and that Biden knew Joe Biden knew all about it, and that he tried to get someone fired for it, and that they had contact with Chinese military, all this stuff. It's like an 87-page report.
And it's not, you know, it's not the Steele dossier. Like, it's a real vetted report. Now, I'm sure this shit goes on all the time. But remember, Biden's appeal is he's not that guy who this goes on all the time. He's different. He's aw shucks guy, not like the career politician where they play these games. Anyway, I'll tell you how Trump just torpedoed his own ship. I'll play the clip from, was it Hannity last week or something?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll play what the nuts and the bolts of the story as per the 87-page document that came out last week.
We get, there we go. Peter Schweitzer, you wrote the book Secret Empire. And in Secret Empire, as you exposed this first and foremost, it's even worse than you described. And almost everything you reported has now been vindicated.
Yeah, that's right, Sean. Thank you. And by the way, the reason we're at the point where the Senate has looked into this is because you interviewed me 2 years ago and amplified our findings. And what the Senate has done is they've used tools that I didn't have access to, not only confirmed what we found, but taken it a step further. And what they've shown is that Hunter Biden was involved in a series of foreign corrupt schemes that triggered suspicious activity reports, or so-called SR SAR transactions by the Treasury Department. These are triggered when money is flowing from either sketchy individuals or the amount of money in question is raising alarm bells. So this is not a question of anonymous sources or speculation. We now know that money changed hands. We know who it came from. We know it came from countries that are our rivals, and we know it came from very corrupt entities around the world. And the question, Sean, continues to be, why did they give Hunter Biden this money? He didn't have a skill set. He didn't have qualifications. They were paying for something. These are not charities. And that's the question that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden need to answer.
So Trump is sitting on top of this for a week going, oh, now I got him. Now I got him. Now I got him. And then he just erupts like a bukkake all over Biden. And it's the best thing that ever could ever happen to Biden, because we all know everyone is at their worst when they go, no, take your time. Answer the question. I want to hear what you have to say.
Your explanation.
But he goes full bum rush on him. And Biden gets put in this great position, which is, I can't even talk. And then Chris Wallace like, all right, moving on. And it was perfect, because he didn't have to address it, because Trump wouldn't take his foot off the fucking accelerator. We'll play the clip.
And so you take a look at what he's actually done. He's done very little. His trade deals are the same way. He talks about these great trade deals. You know, he talks about the art of the deal. China's perfected the art of the steal. We have a higher deficit with China now than we did before. We have the highest trade deficit
China
with Mexico.
China ate your lunch. That 18%. Right, China ate your lunch, Joe. And no wonder your son goes in and he takes out billions of dollars to manage. He makes millions of dollars. And also, just out of curiosity, the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it? What did he do with Burisma to deserve $183,000?
None of that is true. Let him answer.
None of that is true.
Oh, really? He didn't get $3.5 million?
Mr. President, please.
Totally discredit it. Totally discredited. And by the way,
$3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got $3.5 million.
It is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr.
No.
President? But, it's an open discussion. Please,
now, it's a fact.
Raised an issue. Let the Vice
totally
President answer.
Discredited.
Did Burisma pay him $183,000 a month with no experience in energy?
Mr. President,
my son did nothing wrong at Burisma.
I think he did.
Mr. President, let him answer.
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth. His position has been totally, thoroughly discredited.
By who?
In Ukraine.
The media.
By everybody. Well, by the media, by our allies, by the World Bank, by everyone has discredited. Matter of fact, even
Mr.
the
President,
people who testified under oath.
So let me ask you this.
Go ahead, Mister. I'm listening to you.
You got $3.5 million from Moscow.
He testified under oath in his administration, said, I did my job and I did it very well.
Oh, really?
I did it
I'd
honorably.
Like to know who they are.
I'll give you the list of the people who testified.
No, go ahead.
Right.
Sure,
anyway,
you've already fired.
He just did. He brought up his point, then he just kind of steamrolled right through it. And Biden got sort of a pass and just going, that's not true.
He didn't just get a pass. He looked good.
Yeah, look at this.
If you won that particular section.
Can I just interject something to help you to add to the point? Whoever told him, because I doubt anything on that stage happened because they weren't coached. I think Chris Christie, first of all, and Rudy Giuliani were playing the part of Biden while they were rehearsing Trump. So there's nothing on the stage that, you know, that's left a chance, really. It doesn't seem like. And whoever told Biden, if Trump interrupts you, simply close your eyes, exhale exasperated, shake your head. He did it so many times and it worked beautifully.
Hardly ever looked at him.
No,
he never
looked at Trump. You're absolutely right. And it was just can you believe this? And somebody told him to do that. And I thought it was a really strong move on his part.
And also, when somebody interrupts, so you go, isn't it true your son was enriched by these foreign entities? And you go, that's not true. And then the person jumps in and goes, I think it's true. Then you get to reboot. You get to go, it's not true. And then you just keep going, it's not true. And then at some point, everyone gets tired. And then the moderator starts.
And the clock runs out.
The clock runs out, but the moderator ends up getting pissed at Trump because Trump won't shut up. So what Trump did a lot is he would basically say, so it's essentially like there's two guys, right? One guy, the guy on the left goes, the guy on the right's a pedophile. And then the guy on the right goes, I'm not a pedophile. And then the guy at the left won't shut up. And then eventually the moderator goes, I don't care if he's a pedophile. You shut up. You're a bad man. Now be quiet. And we're moving on to the next subject. And the guy who's bringing it up is the one who's being chastised. Honest. Because he won't fucking shut up. So all he did was draw this negative. So he didn't give Chris Matthews a chance to go, hold on. What about Burisma? What about the money? Mm-hmm. How much money did they? Let me follow up. He was so busy telling Trump to shut up the whole time that Biden just was sort of like got kind of a pass. And Trump did not help himself at all in that debate.
If he had just shut up, then he, being Biden, would have had to address it because there would have been 2 minutes of dead air.
There's a perfect example that I don't think I told Chris to look up. I didn't tell him to look it up, but you guys will remember it. The best example for Trump is when Trump was talking about law enforcement, law and order, and everything like that. And then he said, I'm backed by all the major police unions. Who's backing you on the law enforcement community, Biden? And Biden's like, I got backing or whatever. And then he's like, well, go ahead and tell us who's backing you. And they just sat there silently for a couple beats. And that was a perfect example of Trump going, I asked you, you now must come up with the police unions that are backing you, which probably don't exist, but I'm not going to bull stumble over it. I'm going to let the silence, I'll let you think about it in silence. That was probably his best moment. So his best moment was backing off and letting him silently have to drum up an answer versus the bum rush. The bum rush was not a great take. And I don't think Trump did himself any favors in that. All I did was walk away going, ugh, yuck. Mm-hmm.
And usually every other election, doesn't everyone say, well, I can't wait for the vice presidents because, you know, the presidents are always stately and reserved, but the vice presidents, they're the pit bulls. That's when the shouting really starts. It's going to be so the opposite. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pence, oh, yeah, he's going to get loud. Call her mother. I don't think so.
I don't think he's allowed to be in the same room with a woman without the door being open.
Point.
Is there a door? The door's got to be open.
I hadn't thought about that.
You know what they should do? They should do like when they do a play like Our Town and they do the set, you know, with just the door on the rollers, you know, symbolically just the door on the rollers with the door wide open, just
with
set
the open fourth
just
wall.
In between them, you know, or facing the fourth wall. Gina, you'd said it. Facing the fourth wall. Yep. Biden's over.
Fourth wall, the house. The fourth wall. Faces house,
right.
And then we get the illusion that they're in two different rooms.
The Biden clip that always that got to me was him talking about racism. I stand not alone, but I'm definitely in the minority, pardon the pun, of talking about how racist this country is all the time and systemic racism and all that and how damaging it is to the country at large, but also how damaging it is to the people that we keep pounding this narrative that we have we've essentially built ourselves a racist country because it's would be very difficult being a 14-year-old young black man these days hearing nonstop conversations about systemic racism. But here's a 30-second of Chris asking Biden about, I think, now, I don't know. I'd be curious what you guys take. I think of this. I don't think Biden did himself any favors in this response by opening it up. So he was asked about racism vis-a-vis the legal realm, policing and the legal, this country, justice system. And that's something you can debate for sure. He says separate but unequal system of justice. And then Biden expanded it into work and school and like just sort of all of society, which I don't think he needed to do. But here we go.
Vice President Biden, after the grand jury in the Breonna Taylor case decided not to charge any of the police with homicide, you said it raises the question, quote, whether justice could be equally applied in America. Do you believe that there is a separate but unequal system of justice for blacks in this country?
Yes, there is. There's systemic injustice in this country, in education and work and in law enforcement and the way in which it's enforced.
Education and work. So I think between the justice system, education, and then work, I think that about covers society. So there we go, everybody. We're living
in major facets, yeah.
We're heading into 2021 as a racist society once again.
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Speaking of racism, there's, I think Brian has a clip or two. I have a clip that I'd love to share, but I think we would be, I mean, everyone's heard it by now, but everyone kind of, I think everyone's ears perked up when they said, President Trump, by all means, you know, denounce white supremacy. And the tap dance and the shuffling was odd. And of course, that was the big headline that night and the next day, which was, you know, him saying stand down and stand by, which is just an odd response to something like that. Did you have thoughts about that?
I don't know. Well, here's the choice. There's two choices.
Point of information, stand back and stand by.
Stand by, thank you. Stand back and stand by.
Well, then, now that was Proud Boys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is Proud Boys different than the Klan or white supremacists? How would you define the Proud Boys?
They describe themselves as like a drinking club or a social club, but that's a pretty thin veneer. That's why I played the Gavin McInnes thing, because he's the founder. And I don't know, someone will have to educate me on this, whether it sort of got out of hand. I don't know if he's still involved, because I think it's a very different thing now than it was when he founded it. He always struck me as a sort of a satirist or a humorist. And apparently now it's a hate group as defined by the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Oh, all right. Please look in the Southern Poverty Law Center. That place is a fucking hot mess.
With the best name ever.
They have everybody as a hate group who fucking disagrees with them, basically. So they're a mess. So don't just go off of them.
Okay.
Check other sites, and we'll see how that works. Either way. So two thoughts. One is
the FBI has classified them as an extremist group with ties to white nationalism.
Don't do Southern Poverty Law Center. So either Trump agrees with white supremacy, which he may, I don't know. I mean, it's either he agrees with white supremacy or he can't answer fucking questions. One is, I don't think he, see, there's two kinds of guys. Let's break this down. There's two kind of guys that have power. There's a kind of Barack Obama wiring where you have power and you know how to answer questions, Bill Clinton style. You know what I mean? Like boxers or briefs. You know what I mean? Like I'm going to answer. Like I'm going to be that guy you want to have a beer with. I'm not going to put anything out there you can hang me out with.
Ronald Reagan is great at this.
Ronald Reagan is good. Self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. Trump, I think, looks at it as an insult when he's asked direct questions. Like
it's an affront.
Like takes as a challenge.
A challenge, yeah. Like Cruella DeVille. But Disney character villains. You couldn't go, oh yeah, answer me this then. Say it. You know what I mean? Like that becomes a challenge for them. And it's almost like they become like the dog who's pulling on the rope toy. And it's like, you want me to go this way? I'm going that way, bitch. Like now a guy like Clinton, Reagan, Obama, they understand what's going on. They're not reacting. I think a lot of Trump in his horrible answers to things are more of a visceral, like, you want what from me? Nah, we're going to scrap. Like, I'm going to push back. You know, they go, can you do this? He always says something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I still think he has, Gavin McManus has disassociated himself from the Proud Boys. So
yeah, he started as like a joke, like, oh, we're going to be like the Elk Lodge and like have chapters around the world and stuff.
I think Trump puts his own foot in his mouth when he challenges people who challenge him. And that's why he gives stupid answers.
Well, that's an interesting take on this specifically, because I thought this was an example of him trying to look agreeable, saying, okay, yeah, what do you want me to call him? What are they? Okay, stand down, stand by. That seemed like he was trying to.
We'll play it. He starts with what do you want? But then he gets a little defensive or confused or whatever. It's a kind of answer Tourette's where you won't just, you know, it's like when you get in a fight with your spouse and they go, just say you're sorry. And you go, hey, I'm sorry if you think what I did was wrong. You know, you go, don't end it with that. Just say you're sorry. I don't think he can do that. I don't think he can. Yeah. I think if he gets put on the spot, it's stupid. Just say it. I don't think he gains anything from thinking, you know, I don't know what the voting block of the Klan is, but it's got to be a very small, small minority. It's got to be more people from Fiji here that cast votes than the Klan. Do we have that clip?
Yeah, I'll put it up right now.
Okay. Criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups and to say that they need to stand down and not add to the violence in a number of these cities, as we saw in Kenosha and as we've seen in Portland?
Sure,
are you prepared
to
specifically
that,
do it?
Well, I would say almost everything I see is from the left wing.
I'll tell you what happened here. He needed to just stop, which is, will you disavow white supremacists? And Trump was going, like, sure, at the top. And then he went, with the kind of violence that you see in Kenosha and the kind of violence you see in Portland, and now Trump's head is revved up again. He's like, Kenosha, that's Antifa. Portland, those are left-wingers. That's the Democrats. Like, so watch it. Play it one more time. And if he, this is what happened. So I hadn't really examined this, but he kind of goes, will you condemn white supremacy or whatever it was? And he went, sure. And then he got into Kenosha, and then Trump started going,
Antifa. Chris Wallace is the wife in this scenario. She should have just stopped while she had her. Yes.
Let's listen. So play it again and just stop it after he says, will you condemn whatever? Let's see how that works.
Criticized the vice president for not specifically calling out Antifa and other left-wing extremist groups. But are you willing tonight to condemn white supremacists and militia groups? And
I say, he goes, sure. Like, if he just stopped it there, I think what he did is he got into Kenosha and he got into Portland, and Trump's head started swimming and going, those aren't white supremacists that are tearing that place up. That's Antifa that's doing it. And that's where he went off the fucking rails.
That's a really, really good point. That's what, like, your Revenant point, you know, with, like, did Leonardo DiCaprio blink or not? Remember that whole.
Well, let's put it this way. If Chris Wallace, and it's not really his fault, although there is a problem built into a sort of debate format. Like, so what happens back to the couple? So if they go, so if you said to me, like, Adam, would you admit you've done some things wrong in your relationship? I'd go, yeah, sure. If you said, Adam, would you admit you've done some things wrong in your relationship, like your last trip to Vegas for Sonny's basketball game? I'd go, that wasn't me. I bought the hotel rooms. I did a goddamn show on Friday night. I said, let's go see Mariah Carey. But nobody wanted to go. That's how it would end.
Just apologize.
Right. So I think if Wallace would have just clipped him and went, will you denounce white supremacy or whoever we're talking about, and just stopped it, then Trump is hanging there, either going no or yes. But I think he took the bait Antifa, I think Kenosha is what dragged his brain because he has ADD. That's the problem.
Oh, sure.
So one of, sorry, Gina, this directly addresses that. One of the clips I brought in, Adam May shed some light on why Trump was hesitant or not full-throated or whatever. It's from Rick Santorum. He's a I forget what he was. Is he a congressman? Whatever. He's like the conservative voice on. Now he's like the conservative voice on CNN and in the Post.
Just don't put it in Urban Dictionary.
I will not. On the Post debate wrap up analysis of that stuff, Santorum, I think they have the clip because I sent it to him earlier. Rick Santorum has a, I wouldn't say a slip of the tongue, but a revealing analysis of why Trump reacted the way he did to this particular question.
Because he asked two questions where he was asking the president to do something that he knows the president doesn't like to do.
Which is
say something bad about people who support him, right?
What, declining and, violence?
Well, talking about
the white supremacy.
Yeah, the white supremacist, number one. And
that's a bad look.
He kind of realizes in real time what he said and then pivots to like, I forget what he pivoted to, but he slipped a little bit.
That was a definite fucking gaffe. No doubt about it. All right. Well, you guys have been through it. We got more. I mean, we got stuff to get through. I talk too much. Jay Moore's coming in. There's basically that all being said, Biden looked bad, too. Biden just looked like a placeholder or something. I don't know exactly what his policies are. He didn't need to do much because Trump did all the damage he needed to do to himself. I don't know. The whole thing was a shit show. Trump did more damage to himself than Biden did to Trump. Biden didn't come across very well either. And now it's sad because those are the last two men standing.
And that's just to put a finer point on it. I think that Biden's team must have known everything that Trump was going to do. He's going to yell insults. He's going to try and have you take the bait. He's going to try and derail you. If you just do two things, like I said before, look down exasperated and shake your head. And then whenever you want and whenever you can, you look down the barrel of that camera.
Yeah.
And you talk to the viewer at home. And you might have missed that because you were listening on the radio.
No. I watched the second part when I got home. I saw him looking right down.
He never looked Trump in the eye. It was Chris Wallace and you, the viewer. And I think that just having those little tricks up his sleeve, by the way, his sleeve, I think he was wearing a rosary, not a pen is what I'm being, or a microphone is what I'm being told. But those were, I think, very effective. And you're right. He had to do very little.
No, he didn't. All he had to do is let Trump just sort of talk himself into a circle. But then
we should be patting ourselves on the back, everyone, all of us, because for months we've been I think I was very vocal about this. We all kind of agreed. Yeah, Biden's going to be boring down the middle. He didn't look great. Didn't have the gaffe that, you know, I think was the gambit the whole time. And just looked four corners Biden. He just kind of ran out the clock all of the time.
Yeah, I was trying to think, you know, I was thinking about, well, I'll get into it tomorrow, but I was thinking about governing our governor Biden, how all that works, and then how people are wired. And I'll explore that thought with you tomorrow. How about Gina, are we going to do a little eating of our feelings over here?
I sure am.
That's right, Gina is. That's, damn it, I forgot about that. All right, let me hit the spot and then we'll hear about Gina's recipe. Home chef, you got a stressful day, hectic night ahead, sick of nearby takeout options, try Home Chef, number one rated meal kit company. Simply choose your menu and adjust the delivery dates. Box arrives at your doorstep weekly with recipe cards and fresh, perfectly proportioned ingredients. Oven ready recipes, just combine, and you take the pre-chopped ingredients ready to cook, and I put them in throwaway tins. Toss it in the oven for 30 minutes. No prep, no mess. 15-minute meal kits as well. Delicious, low effort, and quick. Limited time only. Go to homechef.com/Adam for $60 off. That's homechef.com. Oh, yeah, I did the garlic parmesan crusted filet mignon. Yes, that's
ooh, la la.
Limited time only. Go to homechef.com/Adam. Get $60 off. All right, Gina, what do you got?
Gina Grad's Eat Your Feelings, brought to you by Home Chef.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night, and ever since then her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
So this was kind of a funny story. I made this yesterday. I ordered a few things from Home Chef of different categories so I could play around with them. And this is not the first time I've done this. I texted Chris at 1 and said, I'm standing by. And he said, 2, which is at least I go that direction 99% of the time. And I was like, well, if I have an extra, 45 minutes, maybe I can make this now. I was going to make it after work when I get home at like 11:30, but I'd love to make it now and bring it to work. So I wanted one that would be quick and easy. It says on the menu card, degree of difficulty, amount of time. And I said, 15 minutes, degree of difficulty, easy. Perfect. Let's do this one. It's garlic pepper chicken and lemon herb butter with Parmesan and pea risotto.
Ooh,
but I love risotto and I love a seafood risotto. So I asked them beforehand to sub out chicken for shrimp because who doesn't love a shrimp risotto?
Yeah.
So by 1:34, this meal was created and they have some pictures for you. It was very, very quick to make. I made that. That's the one that I made.
The
nice
shrimp
presentation.
Nice.
Thank you. It was literally, it is so step-by-step easy. I go a little weird with directions. I'm like Spock, like in Star Trek, so they say Spock is super controlled and super emotionally controlled because if he's not, he would just lose it and be crazy with everybody all the time. Well, that's me with directions. I'm step by step because if I get confused, I say, screw it. I'm doing this myself. A dash of this, a pinch of this, and we'll just see what happens. But you don't have to do that with Home Chef. It's all laid out. So I just there was a package that said garlic pepper. And I said, well, that must be the one for the shrimp, the one that says put the garlic pepper on the meat. Sauteed it up. It smelled divine. The shrimp pinked up really nicely and I let that simmer for a second. Threw the rice, the cream cheese, the peas, and the butter in a pot. They said, leave it alone. I fought every urge in my body to stir it and mess with it and poke at it. And I left it alone until the water sort of evaporated out of it. Very creamy, very quick. This was all done in maybe 14 minutes. I combined everything. I tasted everything individually. I sprinkled the little Parmesan packet that they have right over it at the very end. And I just sat at and I still had 20 minutes before the show started. So I took the food that you saw. I sat at my dining room table. I had a nice, like easy, quiet, slow lunch because this took 14 minutes and I had 25 minutes to just sit there and enjoy my shrimp and risotto.
The cream cheese was in the risotto?
Yes. Which I've never done that before.
That sounds so good.
It was just a dollop of cream cheese, a pat of butter, and a half cup of water with the rice and leave it alone, which is not my thing. And it was just this creamy, perfectly textured, moist but not wet risotto. And instead of tossing it together, I thought it'd look prettier if I put the shrimp around it. And it was, I'm not a big rice person, as Vinny tells us not to be. I haven't had rice in a while. And, everything in my life is cauliflower rice. Do you know how good rice is when you haven't had it in a really long time?
I know, because my kids eat a bucket of it for dinner every night, and I always try to pinch just a little bit.
I never eat rice. And I love the texture of peas. I love the way they pop.
I do too. There's way too many people that don't like peas in this society.
I love them.
Look, if you don't like beets, fine. They taste like dirt. And if you don't like avocado, a pox on you, but I get it. It has some sort of texture issue. It's mushy or something like that. But there's a lot of people that don't like peas. Mm. I love peas. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
Delicious, and thank you, Home Chef.
Eat your feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
Brought to you by Home Chef.
All right, Jay Moore is running late, because the thing about Jay Moore is he either runs early or he runs late, because he's crazy. That's what crazy people do. They either show up way too early, usually with a lot of newspapers. I've found whenever one of Drew's crazy guests show up to his show early, they always have a bunch of newspapers folded up and reading That's things. Funny. It's like they took whatever was in the backseat of their car and like, I'm early. I get caught up on USA Today from 1991. See what's going on.
Hey, remember that time I fucked those guys and they fucked me?
What? Gas prices are up to $1.07 a gallon. This is outrageous.
Highway robbery.
That's right. All right. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back and do the news. And then when Jay Moore shows up, we'll bring him in after that.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace, man. Just bought tickets to the show on October 2nd. Hope you stay long enough to enjoy the famous Salt Lake City Arch. Let's get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, we're coming out there. We're going to be on Garagus's private jet. We're doing a live Reasonable Doubt 4 o'clock show at Wise Guys, a matinee, and then we'll do the live podcast. I think 7:30 show after that.
That's a good order, because I think doing a show about the legal system super, super drunk would be very hard, very confusing.
Dave Koechner will be with us on Friday. The late shows, the stand-up shows are sold out, but there's a couple of tickets left for the early shows. That'll be the live podcast, so come see us there. And Salt Lake's great, and the room's great, Wise Guy's great, so come on down. All right, Gina, what do we got?
Well,
news with Grant. News with Gina Brad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Brad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Brad.
The news with Gina Brad.
Coming across the wire right now as we speak, if you've been wanting to get your nails done or maybe go to a Z gallery or play a little Pai Gow, you should be celebrating, because in L.A. County, nail salons, malls, and card rooms are allowed to reopen. Now, of course,
still not movie theaters.
No. Fucking of course, not assholes. Full capacity. I think they're looking at 25% capacity for card rooms, malls, and nail salons.
The movie theaters that have opened all around the country, they just spread it out and put the scrubber in the air filtration system. And I think people are kind of okay with that. I
agree.
Seems
to be working.
Yeah, the movie theater experience is definitely something I miss, even though I probably only would have went to 2.5 movies in this period. But think about that looking forward to a Friday night kind of thing, heading out to getting dinner and going to see the latest Tarantino flick. I do miss that. So hopefully we'll get that up and running soon. And then,
and it's not like a gym where you're schwitzing and breathing heavy. You're just sitting in a chair, low pulse for 2 hours.
Well, I'm also of the mind that we at this point, I mean, every citizen, especially if you live in Los Angeles, let's say, I think we all know the finer points of what's going on here. I think we can all agree that full disco, roller disco, indoors, people with their shirts off and dry humping each other, Studio 54 style, probably not good. I'd do it anyway. But probably not good. And then we all kind of go, but I guess outside at the beach with a distance. So we're all kind of making our own decisions based on what we've learned over the last 8 months, let's say. So my feeling is you open the movie theater, you do the safe distance stuff, you tell people to put a mask on, and then only people who think it's safe will go in. If you're compromised or you're elderly, then maybe you won't.
Yeah.
But if you feel like, all right, I think I got the lay of the land. Next couple's going to be sitting 9 feet away from us. People are wearing a mask. Seems fairly safe. then I will do it. My thing is, like, you do get to decide. That'll be your decision. You may go, or you may say, I feel like this is way too dangerous an endeavor. I'm not going to engage in it. That's the way I like to...
A self-selecting sample.
Yeah, it's the way I like to go through life. All right.
So you may have heard this already. Came on fairly quickly. Sacha Baron Cohen, I always say Barone, Sacha Baron Cohen used Tuesday night's presidential debate to promote his new Borat sequel. He tweeted a video congratulating President Trump on his debate win and endorsing his bid for re-election. The caption from the tweet says, "Congratulations to the great friend of the Kazakh people, real Donald Trump, for winning debate today. Impressive and amazing result for a strong premier who always put America and Kazakhstan first." And here's the video included with it.
"Donald Trump, strongest premier in history. He not racist. Black guys love him so much they kneel before him. Trump never had stroke. He protector of women's. He hero of war. Biden's breath so bad he forced to wear mask. Because of Trump, 350 million Americans still alive. Trump never had stroke. Vote for Premier Trump or you will be crushed. Dziękuję."
Kazakhs against foreign meddling is who put it on.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of here's what I remember. I have a vague memory. I think Ali G was trying to interview Trump years ago.
I don't remember that.
Well, Ali, I didn't see it. I heard it. Somebody brought it up. And Ali G would famously sit down, I don't know, with Newt Gingrich or somebody, and next thing you know, they're talking to him about women's lingerie and wearing it or whatever. Like, I think Ali G used to try to get, like Borat, I think, am I making this up, would come in and try to do, like, this guy's this really hip guy from England.
Yes.
And he's going to sit down with the Republican senator, and he's going to ask him a bunch of these questions. And he interviewed Donald Trump in 2003. And did Trump, get on to him or get suspicious or get fed up or something?
We found the video.
We'll see what it looks like.
"I've got some business idea that I just want to tell you about, and I'll be a fool if..."
Very quickly.
"What is the most popular thing in the world?"
"Music."
"No."
"Tell me."
"Ice cream."
"Okay."
"Everyone has it." "And what is the problem with ice cream?"
"I have no idea."
"It drips."
"Okay."
"So my idea is what?"
"To make a drip-proof ice cream."
"No." "Oh, that's a fucking brilliant idea, this." "All right, whatever. You ain't going to come out with that, though."
"No, I promise you I won't."
"Well, my idea is to come out with just like these ice cream gloves that make the ice cream not go on your hands and make it all well sticky. And also keep your hands warm when you is eating the ice cream."
"Okay."
"Is you win or is you win?"
"Okay, well, it sounds like a good idea and I hope you make a lot of money. Good luck, folks. It's been nice seeing you. You take care of yourself, okay?"
"Well, is you going to be in on that?"
"Well, it sounds like an interesting..."
"We've got like P. Diddy is going to be in it."
"Good."
It's great.
Now, Trump, to his credit, sort of left. Everyone else hangs out and thinks he's nuts and then continues to answer the questions for another 18 minutes.
Whether he's onto him or not, clearly it's a waste of his time, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that he has him made. He's just like, this guy's an idiot. I'm busy.
"What am I doing here?"
That's great. Right.
Yeah.
Well, some sad news that both seemed to happen last night, or both were announced Monday night. Helen Reddy, singer of the 70s feminist anthem I Am Woman, died on Tuesday. It's according to a statement on her Facebook fan page. She was 78. Meanwhile, Mac Davis, the legendary country singer and songwriter behind Elvis Presley, also died at 78. He wrote a little song called A Little Less Conversation, a little ditty called In the Ghetto for Elvis Presley. He died following heart surgery in Nashville.
Mac famously was the quarterback from the North Dallas 40, one of those 1980s. Well, it wasn't 1980s. It was 1980. So there was a famous book written by a Dallas cowboy about all the hijinks that went on behind the scenes for America's Team or some book, you know, all the women and all the drugs and all the, you could do the 70s math, professional ball, you know, Hollywood, sure. Henderson and Ed Too Tall Jones and all these great big old characters from back then. Anyway, North Dallas 40 was maybe the book, or maybe the book had another title to it. Then they made the movie. Mac Davis was the quarterback and Nick Nolte was like the aging possession wide receiver. Kind of an interesting movie, Brian. I would look at it if I were you, just because it's a, there's only, I don't know, 11 football movies. You might as well have them all covered. And this one is well done. You know, Mac Davis is good. Nick Nolte is good in it. It's got some interesting nuance to it. And, I think you could get something out of it. It's not that highly stylized. What is it on Rotten Tomatoes? Do we know?
Oh, we'll find that in a sec. But I just want to say, Mac Davis played a quarterback, a fictional quarterback named Seth Maxwell, who's often compared to Don Meredith.
Right. So this is back when, like, you know, the quarterback would be smoking and drinking a beer in the locker room. You know, going, God damn, give me a shot. You know, like, it wasn't about rehab. It was about give me the needle. And I'll get back out there kind of thing. Oh, 83 like with it. The critics there, Brian.
Wow.
So that was Mac Davis. Mac Davis also had one of my favorite. I like songs from the 70s where the guy would be warning the chick. Like, I know you're going to fall in love with me.
Mm.
Like, I know you want me. I know that's what you want. But you can't. Because I'm just going to bang you, and then I'm going to leave. But I'm being up front. I'm telling you right now.
You heard it here first.
Girl, you're getting that look in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, that look.
And it's starting to work.
See, I'm worried. I'm so hot that obviously you're going to... They all do.
I ain't ready for no family ties.
Yeah, I'm not a family man. I like to just basically ejaculate on the strangers, or almost near strangers, not near strangers, and then I gotta leave.
Just keep
one friendly girl, cause I don't wanna leave. Like I will leave if you start getting clingy.
Girl, I can't breathe.
Everyone, baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. Why? Because I'll just use you, then I'll set you free. Baby, baby. Hey, Chris.
Don't get hooked on me.
You see how everyone's enjoying this?
I noticed that, yeah.
It's not like Mac's going to sue you from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you trot this one out the next cruise, you know?
That's a good suggestion.
People, they pay good money, they want to enjoy themselves. Especially after being cooped up.
Right.
Girl, you're a hot-blooded woman child.
Good Lord.
And it's warm where you're touching me. That's right. My loins are on fire.
It's got radio play?
I can tell by your turn.
That's a hit.
That's a crossover hit.
You're a hot-blooded woman child, and it's warm where you're touching me.
Damn.
That's what I have to tell this to women all the time. You see too much in me. My mom has this problem.
Girl, don't let your life get tangled up with mine.
That's right.
Cause I'll just leave you. I can't take no clinging vine.
Can't take no clinging vine. Baby, 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 don't get hooked on me. This isn't your range, Chris. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. You can point at the ladies in the audience. I'll just use you, then I set you free. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. All right. Oh, yeah.
And then what Chris would do is do the move where they flick the pick. He'll his guitar pick at the one he wants.
Ah.
You know?
And I would use the end of the guitar to point at the separate
right,
ladies because I'm playing at
always.
The same time. Then I set you free. Yeah, Mac, man.
By the way, do you know this was written in, or I guess out in 72, so was I Am Woman. Talk about competing theories of women.
Do you think this song was ever Baby, Baby, Don't Give Up on Me, and then it was rewritten like to be more timely?
I don't know, but I love I'm Woman. I'm Woman is possibly a Tool tune. It could possibly be a Tool tune because it's big. You got I'm Woman. Helen Reddy's a very clear voice in this song. And this song was
especially
a big
Adam,
deal.
If you or I were to pull up to that bus stop.
Oh yeah.
It's gender specific Tool tune.
It's pretty Tool tune for everybody.
It'll
2020.
It gets going. I mean, it kicks in.
I am woman, hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back. Cause I've heard it all before, and I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna keep me down.
It gets Tool toony, but it kicks here. Here it goes.
Oh, yes, I'm wise, but it's wisdom for me. Oh, yes, I paid the price, but look how much I gained.
I am strong. I am invincible. Well, maybe not. I am woman. You know, it'd be a funny scene. All right, Dawson, let's see if we can recreate this. Helen Reddy's in the studio, right?
Right.
And she's going to lay this track down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got the salty 70s ex-roadie engineer chain-smoking guy who's holding a Coors. And he's engineering the thing.
Who's going to play that?
And she starts, I'll play that guy.
Oh.
No, well, or maybe Dawson could play that guy.
Dawson was born to
play that role. I mean, that's sort of Dawson's role.
But this is a finesse role now because Dawson, what you got to be doing is, Gina.
Yeah.
You play Helen Reddy.
All right.
You don't have to sing, but when the music pots down, Dawson is going to be like, well, that's about it's about it with the studio time. You got all you paid for, so we got to wrap it up. And then you're going to be like, I haven't finished a song yet, and he's going to be like, well, come into the booth and blow me. Maybe we can add about half an hour.
I think we just did it.
That worked.
We didn't even have to do it. It was hilarious.
I think it's been done. Cut print.
Dawson's character knows nothing of the song or the theme of the song, and he just keeps going on, right? Like, all right, after you're done, maybe go out, buy a few drinks, you can give me a massage back in my hot tub. I got an apartment nearby or something. And he has no idea what the theme of the song is. All he knows is there's a hot chick and her time is up in the booth. This is,
you know how the game is played.
This is A&M Records, 1972. Here we go.
Here we go.
I've got to play the song.
You can bend but never break because it only
All right. Helen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was just finishing that phrase.
Yeah. No, I think we got it.
Well, the song's not done. I still have a chorus and one more hook.
Well, you know, time's up. We got hours to keep here, but you ever been on a motorcycle?
No.
I got one. You know,
That's cool and all.
I mean,
but
you paid your money. You know, do you want the record labels to hear this song? Don't you?
I do. That's why I'd like to finish it, if you don't mind.
You like radio play?
I do. I want this to be. I want to be a star. I want this to be a hit.
Now there are two words there, darling, that are real important here: radio play. So why don't you come back here and sit on my lap for a second?
Excuse me,
Helen. Helen, you're Helen Reddy. Well, what do you? You better get ready. Get in here. You got them drawers on. Get them off. Why don't you come in here and
wait a second? I cannot believe you're talking to. I'm going to be a star, and it's because I am a proud, independent, empowering woman. How dare you talk to me like this?
I don't. You are indeed a woman. Why don't you come in here and I'll prove to you that I'm a man. And I mean, your last name's Reddy, right? It's not Helen. Give me a minute.
Well, you make a good point. All right, hold on.
All right, so she just
going to get better than that.
She blows Chet in the sound booth and then goes back and finishes the song. Pipe it up.
Never have a number one hit.
Oh, indeed you are, Helen.
I am
invincible.
I always like this song because I like any big orchestrated song. I like the backup singers and the band and the wall of sound. I'm a sucker for all that. So that was all there.
I'm sure I'll be alone in this. Does anyone remember that she did all of the songs in Pete's Dragon, the 1979 movie about a boy and his cartoon dragon? One of my favorite movies of all time.
Pete's Dragon.
Pete's Dragon with the sound candle. I'll be your candle on the water. Nobody.
That was one of those. That's in that lost Disney era where they're doing live action and animation, but none of the movies are really very good.
Water Babies, Pete's Dragon. They all had the live action cartoon combo.
There it is, Gina.
She did all the songs for Pete's Dragon.
First,
it's so easy.
First risotto, now this. What an afternoon for you. It's not going to get any better than this.
No.
All right, let's pot it down. Sorry, Dawson. Nice job, Dawson. You played the salty engineer with the motorcycle from 1972 just right.
The role you were born to play.
All right, let me hit relief band here. So nothing worse than nausea, right? That is the worst. Like some people get car sickness. Some people get it when their, I don't know, airplane gets a little bumpy. Actually, that's that's Jimmy's bag, man. So I'm excited to tell you about our new partner, Relief Band. Number one, FDA-cleared anti-nausea wristband. It's a very interesting piece of technology. It's clinically proven to relieve nausea and vomiting from motion sickness, morning sickness, chemotherapy, anxiety, hangovers, migraines, and more. It's a 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, fast-acting, all-natural relief with zero side effects. Originally developed 20 years ago in hospitals, and now it's over-the-counter. Relief Band stimulates a nerve that's in your wrist, and it goes to the part of your brain that controls nausea and blocks the signal to your stomach telling you you're going to be sick. So when you travel and you get a little car sick, sitting in the back seat, put it on, or you on the plane, or sometimes you're like trying to read something in the car, like I've done this before, and you get a little nauseous in there. Use Relief Band, right, Dawson?
Don't fall for the cheap bands you find in drugstores or see all over your Instagram feed. Reclaim your life from the fear of nausea. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for Adam Carolla Show listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code Adam, you'll receive 20% off. So head to reliefband.com and use our promo code Adam for 20% off.
All right. What else, Gina Grad?
Well, real quick, I'd like to say that I was right about something. Remember, maybe it was yesterday, the day before, when I said, if you're going to invest in patio furniture, now's the time because of restaurants having to move outside. A listener emailed and said, good call on investing in patio furniture companies. My family owns one. We can't get caught up with everyone ordering furniture because you got to have all those meals outside until further notice.
I got to tell you, in the weird part, so I always try to figure myself out, like, am I cheap? Am I not cheap? What will I spend money on? What's worth it? What's not worth it? One of the most difficult things I've ever purchased is patio furniture, because patio furniture is exquisitely expensive for what you think it is. Mm-hmm. Patio furniture now is more expensive than furniture with all these mattress places, and you can get all these sofa places and
IKEA.
Yes. Like I've looked at look at that set. It's like got the umbrella and the chairs, and you're like, it's $3,700. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? I thought it'd be like $700. Yes, Brian.
Yes. As one who has sadly bought several rounds of patio furniture, because in the last however long we've been in this house, 10, 11 years, the cheap stuff is cheap for a reason. It's going to be ruined within four seasons at least. So pay the money, get the good stuff, and don't worry about it. Otherwise, you will be replacing that patio furniture you think is, oh, it's a great bargain. So there's a reason it's that price.
I agree. And it is sort of it's the exact opposite of people paying a shitload for a coffin. Like, just buy a cheap coffin. Who cares? Done. But when it comes to this stuff, get the material. First off, everyone always thinks about weather. You know, they think about rain, snow, and sleet and stuff. The sun is what kicks the shit out of everything. The sun is what destroys everything. And if you get something and it's cheap wood and you just put it out in the sun, it'll start cracking and splintering and blistering or whatever. Get the aluminum, get the, you know, powder coated stuff, get the right material, the sunshade or whatever it is.
Sunbrella.
Sunbrella. I mean, get the good stuff. You're right. Because it seems weird. Like, I'm not going to pay $4,000 for patio furniture, but
you're going to pay that eventually, replacing your old shitty stuff.
You pay $900 four times is basically how it works. So get the good stuff. I agree.
Yeah. Since we got
the good stuff. We splurged for the good stuff, and Phil chewed it all up.
Oh, yeah. Phil ate it.
Phil ate the first 2 feet of all the chaise lounges. But because I'm a nut, I went and bought a material, matched it, and sewed it back on. So
we
live to fight another day.
Since we're talking about it, I have to ask the question I ask once in a while. What's trashier? Patio furniture inside your house or inside furniture on your patio?
Inside furniture on the patio is sadder than patio on the inside. Patio.
Like, everyone, let's please adjourn. Please follow me into the dining room. And it's
that's party house, though. That's like frat house fun times.
Or it's ironic John Waters kind of look. Kitschy and ironic. The outdoor furniture... The indoor furniture outdoors is bad. My dad, I hope you guys are sitting down, has never purchased outdoor furniture in his life.
What?
I would like to break it down. Like, as far as a life well led, like I was telling you guys about how my dad has almost never paid for parking in his life, which meant he didn't go out on Saturday nights. He didn't go to the concert. He didn't go to the show. He didn't travel and valet at the Chicago hotel or steakhouse. But my dad's also made it through his entire life without buying outdoor furniture and or patio furniture. If you buy outdoor items, your purchase of outdoor items simply means I like to barbecue. I like to entertain. I like to be with family. I like folks to come over, you know, and the more you go, the better your life. Like I got this big cooler and it's got wheels on it and I can use it like a scooter. So I take
how
the
many
kids.
How many outdoor versions of things do you own?
Right. My dad owns a cat that sometimes goes outdoors. That's as far as he's got. Jay Moore is here and smelling good, too.
I smell good for real?
Pull up your microphone.
Oh, I smell good for real? Okay.
Yes, Big Mama got it all.
That's my perfume, Eau de Toilette.
Oh, yeah. You smell good.
What sandalwood?
Sandalwood?
What? Huh?
Sandalwood no. Did what?
Let's have a cognitive back and forth first, because I feel like... I lead you down rabbit holes that are not, you know, best for a listener.
The way you said sandalwood was funny, though.
I tried to. I realized there was nothing funny about it, so I just stretched it.
Sandalwood.
There you go. Buddy Hackett once said to me on the set of Paulie, he goes, "Do you know what a hand take is?" I go, "No." He goes, "Rolling, and you don't know what a hand take action." He goes, "All right, lady," to Jenna Rollins. He goes, "Dead husbands aside," see, that's a hand take. Nothing funny there. But I cut. Why did you stop? They go, "Well, you're waving your hands around. You're talking to JJ." He goes, "Take that putt out."
Was he nuts? Or is he nuts just at the end?
Fuck yeah, he was nuts. He was the greatest. He said he could do his life over again.
I wouldn't have been so hard-headed.
Yeah. I'm learning that now at 50, bro. When I'm out there paddleboarding...
Yeah, let's
just
talk
like life. It's a negotiation when I stay on top.
Let's talk about you and your beach experience. Jay Moore, by the way, Jay Moore, American Treasure, available now on Amazon Prime. That's his latest stand-up special, and also more stories as well. Live shows, Rochester, New York.
No live shows. Friday, I'm doing a show at Huntington Beach, Bolsa Chica. It's socially distanced, and it's appropriate, and I don't really have the details. Why would I? It's not like I'm doing a show. But you could look it up. I'll look it up in the break.
Are you getting out? So last time I saw you, I was over at Bill Simmons' place. Or not last time I saw you, but then you
at
were
at the beach.
You were at the beach. You were at the Malibu place across with the
Jeannie rented it next
Jeannie
like,
bus.
It was next door, yeah.
Next door. Oh, wait. Is Jeannie, are you still dating? What's going on?
Yeah.
Jeannie's, and obviously Lakers.
We're going to the fucking finals, baby!
You're going to the finals. Jeannie's.
No, we, man. Lakers.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you. I mean, you and Jeannie. I mean, has it been 10 years? How long has it been since the Lakers have gotten there?
2010, right?
And Lakers, Celtics. If they're not favored, they're favored, right? They got to be favored in the series.
They will be, yeah.
So is Jeannie over the moon about it?
Yeah, of course. It's like... it's amazing when you see somebody that kind do something that brave, that's that terrifying, and it all works. You know, there's no like, yeah, they made a hell of a stand, but in the end, they toppled her and they steamrolled her. It's like LeBron came here, like Anthony Davis came here. Rob Pelinka was mocked. Frank Vogel was a great hire from day one. He's a fantastic coach. He's a Jersey guy, man. And just to watch it all come through, like to get burned by Magic, the COVID shit, like the commissioner dies, her mom dies, Kobe dies. It's like one after the other, the Clippers won't cover, they cover the banners up. Like, what?
How crazy was that death, that Kobe death for Jeannie?
I don't know. I don't know anything about anything, man.
I don't know, but how was it for her emotionally?
I mean, it was, I don't know. I can't, it's not, not for me to speak on. It was devastating, you know. I met him once in an elevator in Vegas 20 years ago. Like, I didn't know that guy. I was on a plane, my phone went berserk, and I just stood in the airport and cried. I never met the guy.
Is Jeannie a majority owner, minority owner?
Jeannie's a great person to have on your show.
We should have her on.
You're wasting your time with me. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't know anything about Jeannie Buss other than she's a very sweet soul.
That's correct.
And as
beauty.
And beautiful. And as we watch Jay Moore paddling out in the Pacific Ocean, further away from the shore than you should be. You know, when you see those crazy old people that are way out there and you go, what the fuck's that guy doing out there?
I'll tell you why you're wrong.
That was Jay Moore.
I'm closer to the shore. I risk the brake line.
She just looked over the... She like looked over the railing and I was looking over the railing. She goes, that's Jay out there. And I was like, yeah, it is. And she looked at me and she's like, he's swell, isn't he?
She said
swell.
She's so cute.
Yeah, I mean,
no, she said he's swimming in the swell.
Yeah,
he's in
sewage, isn't he?
You knock sewage. It off. Hi, guy. I was going to segue over to the lateral hellos.
So, God bless you for that. Are you
a UFC fighter right now? A little beard rock.
That's right.
Are you living? So, are you down in Malibu?
I have two apartments. One's in Malibu. That's where I was going to live after my divorce. It was a little Airbnb that I just stayed in. But then I drove my son to school, and it took an hour. And I said, well, that's fucking not happening.
Mm.
So instead of giving it up, I just got another apartment down the street from a school. Like, I'll work at the docks in Long Beach if I got it. You said it best on your podcast here. Name one person you know that works really fucking hard and is goddamn broke. Nobody. Yeah. Nobody.
Well,
broke.
No, I'm going to say for all that's been said about this country,
Donald Trump
over the last few years.
I blame Obama, bro. What about their emails, though? You know,
Sorry.
Well, I think there is something you could definitely say about this country, which is if you want to bust your ass, you will do fine. You will not be rich per se, although you may be. You will not necessarily be what we'd even deem successful or affluent. But if you aren't scared of work and you kind of get a trade, and I don't mean drywall. I just mean something you do.
Even drywall, though.
Oh, yeah. Or even
that's
drywall.
Working.
If you want to do something like that, you shall have a enjoyable life in this country. I think
and by
you
the
can
way,
say that.
You'll do fine is a malleable. It spans all races. It spans all religions, all social system, all castes. If you live in the hood and you bust your ass, you're going to be all right in the hood where you are. I'm not saying you're going to get the mansion in the Palisades or something, but fine is relative to your, I got white privilege, I got a leg up.
No,
fine for me is different.
Well, no, the thing that's...
And that's the injustice that you don't acknowledge.
The things that we don't really notice... I'll tell you one thing.
Surgical.
You know, I'll tell you one thing that you will get that most people don't get, or a perspective that most people don't get, which is if you work with guys, and I frequently do, who we consider like poor Hispanic guys, right? You go like you see the guy, he's painting the side of the thing, or the guy's putting the stucco on the side of the building.
Thin though, right?
When he's in good shape and he's happy, by the way.
I love it.
All right, all those guys. If you and I work with these guys, if I say to him, Roberto, what are you doing this weekend? Like on Friday, he'll go, I'm going to the Morongo Casino with my wife. And you'll be like, what? And he'll go, yeah, we like to go there. We got a buffet. She likes to play like slot machines. I play blackjack. You know, we go there for the weekend. And I'm like, fuck, I'm going to go do the ice house for free and then we're going to go home and beat off. But okay.
But he wishes that's what he was doing.
But the point is sometimes when I talk to them, I go, what are you doing this weekend? They go, well, I'm going to do pre-COVID. They go, like, I coach the soccer team, so I'll do the soccer thing. And then we're going to get some steaks and cook them on a barbecue. And I'm like, yeah, you're enjoying yourself. Yeah. You're having a good time. You work during the week, and then the weekend comes around, and you watch the whatever game, and you fire up the grill, and you make some chimichurri sauce and some steaks, and crack a few Coronas, and enjoy your weekend. Like, I think we all think these people head back to some salt mine or something, and swelter and toil and stuff. They go out and have fucking fun, just like I did when I used to work construction. Like, we'd go out and do shit on the weekend, get a pizza, get a card game going or whatever.
My friend's mom was Irish with an Irish lilt, and when, like, a weird guy would go by, she'd go, who is he when he's at home? Ooh, right. Who is she when she's at home? And it always stuck with me, like, who the fuck is this guy when he's at home? So I get it, like, that, like, wow, this guy's chosen. Him and his wife enjoy it. Like, they've gone maybe one dozen or two dozen times, the Lazy River. We've all done that live read on terrestrial radio, like, oh, the Cabanas. They got the place wired. It's fascinating. I get it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Went to the races in the IE. You're like, what races? The drag races. What?
Yeah, they're like, it's, I don't know, $17 for the lunch buffet, and they go over there and enjoy themselves.
I was at Fight Science in Mid-City. It's Washington and La Brea, where I train with these guys. And they're all talking about some guy had a backyard fight that weekend. He got his light. He was winning, and his footwork got shitty, and the guy turned his light out. The guy's standing right in front of me. He was in a fucking... I'm like, this never happens without me again, by the way. I'm going to the backyard.
To be fair to him, he stepped in a kiddie pool.
Mean Gene Okerlund
did. And that's the problem with the backyard fighting. Sometimes.
Yeah. You got to watch out for the sprinklers. They'll get you pregnant, Gina. You, by the way, Gina, no joke.
Yeah.
You've never looked better. I don't work
that's
here, so I can tell you when I look at you, I want to do dirty things.
Oh, I appreciate that.
To my girlfriend, get your mind out of the gutter.
Jay compared me to a UFC fighter.
It's a compliment. You look manly. You don't look like Caillou anymore.
Pounds. I've never been weaker in my life.
You're not Caillou anymore. You're like, you look good.
You guys ever see any of those documentaries on those backyard fights?
Yeah.
I saw it. Kimbo
and
Dog
like
Fight. Was
somebody,
that the one?
Yeah.
Kimbo Slice?
The scariest.
Somebody 3000.
The scariest part of the backyard fight is not the actual backyard fight. It's the moms that come out with the folding chair to support their son who is in the backyard fight. Like, could you imagine your 19-year-old is just bare-knuckling it in the back someone's backyard, and you're just like, I got a folding chair. I'm sitting
That's
right up
my
front.
Baby.
Oh, it's God.
You're really on something here because it's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
When
no mom should be able to watch that fight.
Not only watching it, you and I there are in... I know you well enough, and I know me well enough to know we're in the back, one hand's over our mouths, and every once in a while we look at each other and go, Jesus Christ. We can't stand there going, fucking get his fucking ass! And it's like, holy shit, that's not a place you want to drop your wallet.
I
kick it across the street to the strip club before you pick it up. Why am I talking like this?
It is crazy.
Radio guy.
All right, sorry. Jay Moore's joining us. Gina Grant's got a couple more news stories.
Gina looks amazing.
She does.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. Let's see. Well, if you're going to Texas, that's all well and good. Just to stay away from the water if you're near Lake Jackson. A city in Texas issued a disaster declaration after a brain-eating amoeba was found in the water supplies weeks after a 6-year-old boy died from contracting a microbe, according to Fox News. It's a do not use water advisory. It was issued initially for 8 communities in the greater Houston area. Now it's really just all about staying away from the water in Lake Jackson. City officials said in a news release on Saturday that earlier this month, a 6-year-old boy, Josiah McIntyre, died after contracting this microbe called something Fowleri. I don't know. Oh, here, Naegleria Fowleri. And he had a headache.
Hold on. Big Mama got it all?
Huh?
You don't know if you're sleeping or not, but you realize you were probably sleeping because you wonder if you fell asleep in the first place. Probably me. You fell asleep.
I think Gina met a couple of your friends. Naglary, I think, was
one
of them.
Fowleri. Yeah, comes through your dick hole. Comes right through the dick hole.
McGlary and Filari? Are they friends of yours?
No, it's a virus. You get deep pee in the whole urethra.
I did not know that.
Yeah. When you pee in the ocean, everything swims up. Huh? This is Big Mama got it all. Who's this person?
It's good.
I'm a good business motherfucker.
I want to congratulate Gina Grad because to me, and all the, you know, coronavirus, and it's nothing but racism and coronavirus. And I miss the days of weird shit in a lake stories. You know what I mean?
Me too.
There's a weird monkfish that can run on top of the ground and jump into another
thing. There's been a dearth of the reporting of these things, and Gina's really the only voice of this nonsense.
I'm saying
we need a break.
There used to be What's in the lake was every, 29th story.
Turns out, Adam, it was a plastic bag.
Yeah, or it was one of these fish that wasn't supposed to be in this environment, but that came from China and it ate all the other fish, and there's nothing we can stop it. Yeah, those crazy stories, what's in the lake.
Yep.
It means we're not talking about racism or COVID-19 or Trump. It just means we're talking about what's in the lake.
Well, hold on.
That's right.
There's a reason the monkfish is running out of the water. There's a reason. We're talking about race a little bit.
What fish am I thinking of? Moccasin? No, not a water moccasin.
It looked like a monkfish. And it had like flippers that would walk on the surface. I'm going to double down for you, Adam Carolla, because you were so nice with that compliment.
Well, I doubled, so you're tripling.
I'm tripling down.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that there's a new Loch Ness Monster story in the news? And I know how you love a good Loch Ness Monster story.
This is amazing.
A man reckons the Loch Ness Monster might have escaped into the North Sea after snapping a strange picture recently. A Scottish Sun reports that 56-year-old Andrew Brunton says he snapped the curious sight, the little picture, on Tuesday while hoping to catch a glimpse of dolphins. And I'm sorry, it wasn't prepared for Caitlin will probably grab it. It's just a... there it is. Exactly what you think it would be, a nothing picture. A
fucking dolphin. That's what that is.
Right.
Guy got exactly what he wanted.
He
put a goddamn tail on it.
He has no idea what it could be. He's hoping other Scots can help shed some light on what he's seeing. Retired asset manager for Fife Council, Andrew, said maybe Nessie has escaped and gone up to the coast. Can anyone please confirm?
I can confirm right now. Sea monsters are just notorious tricksters. They love escaping. It's like an octopus. You just, no matter how you put the lid, they're going to get out. If you have a monster, don't keep them hemmed in. It's like a hound. You got to let it roam.
We can barely get any footage of giant octopi, right? Or squids.
Not anymore.
There's only two Rose McGowan porns on Pornhub. Tell me about it.
They wash up on the beach every once in a while, but we can never really get a shot of them in action. There's like drawings of them killing whales, but those are like acrylic paintings.
Swallowing giant ships.
Yeah, those are awesome tattoos, but they're not real life. Yeah.
And I always think of what Neil deGrasse Tyson said on the podcast a while back when we talked about aliens and stuff, and I'm paraphrasing, but I believe he said something to the effect of, or we're talking about, UFOs. He said, with all the cameras and all the surveillance footage that's available in the year 2020, how it's all just, rough sketches and folklore and blurry pictures. It's just not enough to go on. It's the same thing with the sea. We have the capability. James Cameron went all the way to the bottom looking at the Titanic.
It's called a snakefish. It can breathe air and migrate short distances over land.
It sucks.
Yeah, snakehead
missing
fish.
Link.
Snakehead fish. Sorry, snakehead fish. And it's
To paddle with me, and they said no. I said, why not? I said, I don't like the ocean. It's monster soup.
That's exactly perfect. Because when I catch a bass, if I look right down its mouth, I'm like, I can't eat this. It's disgusting.
Do you fish? All right. So I want to talk about your paddle schedule because I got a place in Malibu recently and I bought paddles.
Yeah. Where I live, the ocean's restricted, though.
It's restricted.
No Italians. They're animals. You clog up the drains, man. But I'll come up and see you, though.
Where are you in Malibu?
I'm like a quarter mile south of Dukes, which is actually east of Dukes, but.
A quarter mile?
PCH south of Dukes.
Oh, okay. I could walk to your
Par
place.
Par five.
All right. Let me hit bet online.
Dog leg left.
I'll, Dukes is, still eating in the parking lot, but it's good.
Who's eating whom?
All right, hold on. Hold on, androgynous deputy dog. Let me hit Bet Online here. The wait is finally over. Football is back. A lot of good games coming up. Vikings at Texans, Chargers at Buccaneers, Steelers at Titans, Bills at Raiders. I'm curious about the Patriots and the Chiefs. I don't know. What's the spread on that game, Max Patty? You find out. It's got to be Chiefs by, is it over a touchdown? Chargers at Buccaneers, Eagles at 49ers.
Chiefs by a touchdown.
Oh, because I was seven points. Is it over? Because the Patriots, the Patriots. I don't know. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division championship futures as well. Just head on out to betonline.ag, your exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. Let's see. So, what is the regimen? You're in great shape, Jay Moore. What are you doing?
I'm in the best shape of my life. Not cardio, though, but I'm getting there.
But what are you doing? Are you getting up every morning and paddling? Are you kayaking or paddling?
Stand-up paddle. I try every day. If I don't do it every day, it's just because I have something I have to do and I don't have 3 hours.
How far do you go?
The pier from where I live is 3 miles. If I go to the pier and back, it's 6. I'll do that once in a while. So
the Malibu pier?
Yeah. So I don't know why I'm looking at the ceiling. There's nothing up there. I would say it's at least 2 miles, you know. Definitely 2 miles each time. But I'm fishing, drifting, going back and drifting. And
you're fishing?
Yeah, man.
Do you fish every morning? Or whenever you paddle?
I try to fish every single day. I don't know. Every day I try.
How do you fish off a stand-up paddleboard?
The same way, just balanced.
Do you have a rod and tackle and everything? Or do you like a drift line?
We're talking about fishing. What the fuck? What are you doing? What do you mean?
You go out and stand on the board.
You go noodling.
And I fish.
You do?
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing you caught out there?
AIDS? Twice.
It's pretty big.
But yeah, the shampoo they give you, that's for crabs.
Oh, you caught AIDS?
Twice.
What do you catch?
No, a calico bass, probably 5 pounds, the biggest thing out there, but that's that'll tell you. So you there I am. That's uphill.
Crazy.
That's it's 10 pounds ago, my friend.
You stand out there, you fish, you catch a calico bass.
That photo taken by Carl Randall, my buddy and landlord, that's us filming the show Malibu Bass that we're going to try to sell. We're going to sell it to whomever. It's just a fishing show, but it's Malibu. And you get to learn conservation and stuff. And I just look jacked, and I'm in it for the chicks anyway. Look at those calves.
And it's a lot of Jay with a GoPro out in the ocean going, that's Rob Lowe's house.
No,
it's over there. It's on the other side
of
the Point Doom.
Yeah,
Oh, and Courtney Cox. I think she's out that. She's not on Point Doom. She's that way.
Anybody not in St. Elmo's Fire?
Courtney Cox wasn't in.
You're thinking
of
Demi Moore.
You're thinking Demi Moore.
Oh yeah, Demi Moore tried to kill herself by leaving the windows open.
That's the greatest scene ever.
Freeze herself out.
That's Amir. Amir took that. Amir K.
That's a great scene.
I didn't have a backpack, so look, I got a fucking Lakers food bag that's insulated. That's right exactly behind nowhere I've said previously. That's a mystery spot. That's about a 5 pound bass, and he's delicious.
Do you go home?
First, I
gut
fuck
it
him.
And cook it?
I fuck him.
Got it and cook it?
Fuck him right in his mouth, man. Fuck that fish, bro. Bitch ass bass. No, weapons of mass destruction, man. I'm just, my mushrooms are kicking in right now, dude. What do you know? Hey.
So are you still coaching wrestling?
Yeah, it's, you know, you got to have like socially distanced practices. You got incoming freshmen. So it's kind of just calisthenics, getting to know each other, spaced out. You can't really teach like single.
You weren't at Harvard Westlake, were you?
I was coaching against them.
Oh, against
their coach
them.
Is exceptional. This guy, Junior. Think his brother's name is Neek, something Neek.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me, brother, but they're really solid guys. Like, they came from, like, that the Palisades. There's, like, a coaching tree with, like, Aldo Randy and then Aldo Giuliano. And Adam Hunter is a great, exceptional coach, man. Yeah. He's my MVP.
He's a great VJ as well.
Yes, he is. You know, he's no Quinn. Who is, you know, coming right up. Dire Straits, who cares? Martin Offler, blah, blah, blah.
Colin Quinn working. Let's do Colin Quinn. Get ready with the music, Dawson.
Indubitably.
Colin Quinn. All right, it's an audition.
All
it's,
right.
It's 1987.
Yeah.
I'm looking for VJs.
87.
Freshen up the cast on MTV, and I'm looking for new VJs.
Everything's going to be extreme.
A young Colin Quinn comes in.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the hiring over at MTV.
Yeah, it's all high energy, you know. They follow the leader. You gotta lead. Everything's really extreme, you know.
So we got Colin, is it?
Yeah, not enough energy. I got to call you out right now.
No, no, I'm auditioning
it's
you.
It's extreme.
We got Nina Blackwood.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
We got Alan Hunter.
Two for Tuesday. Couple skate.
I think we got Richard Blade coming in. He's doing some weekend stuff with us.
And they're really
hot. So we're playing a lot of Men at Work these days.
Yeah. Vegemite sandwich. All right.
Yeah, yeah. But that's...
This guy's got a crooked eye.
But they sing the song.
He's got a crooked eye, though.
Well, but that's not for you to comment on.
Bro, hold on a second. Warwick should be in on this. I should be the DJ.
No,
I know how to party.
Colin,
you got me back at the beach.
Get back
party,
to Quinn.
Bro.
Get back to Colin.
Jeez.
All right, so...
Who's that? Your ballet, I think.
Well, yeah, like, what you'll do is you'll talk out one song, you'll talk up the next song, and then we'll go on to the next song. So I just want to kind of hear what you have.
All right.
Maybe Duran,
here we
Men
go.
At Work, you know,
here's,
something.
Here's James Gang.
Something,
of
no,
course.
No, we're not playing the James Gang.
Here's the James Gang. What is this?
This is Men at Work.
It sounds like ducklings following a midget down the beach.
Yeah, okay, but...
Here they come. Here comes that midget that walks his geese every morning.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. All right, keep it moving, midget walking ducks.
All right, hey, Colin?
Yeah. All right.
You were recommended to me.
Here we go. This is Metallica, Ride the Lightning.
Yeah, I would.
Get some joints and smoke them and play Madden.
Colin, or Mr. Quinn, I don't know the comedy scene.
It's CQ, Extreme.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
You were recommended to me.
That's right. Don't forget it.
By what used to be a friend, I guess. So we're looking for, I want to give you a fair shake here. We're looking for VJs.
She was shaking. I'll play some Eddie Money. You want shaken?
Eddie Money is in the rotation.
Fair shake.
We're playing shaken.
Eddie Money shaking is all about putting it between her boobs. You know?
We play some Greg Kin too. We play the Kin Greg Kin band. You know, we're playing.
He's
some
a good
of
man,
that.
Greg Kin.
We're doing Go Go's, but not the deep cut stuff. We're doing mainly.
So
you know,
put him
vacation.
In order. The Go Go's new game coming up on MTV. It's me, your boy CQ. All right, don't make a big deal out of it. Which go-go do you get to first, you know? I'm going to blend the Carmel right in the head. Putting it right in her skull. I sound like Pharrell on the bench. Hey, on the bench, 29. I got the Islanders winning tonight by 17. Big puss.
Colin.
Tyrone Wheatley, you are what you hurt.
Hey, all right. Colin, again, you were recommended.
I got to catch my breath because I was just struggling to get back to Colin.
You were recommended by...
That's what suffered during quarantine is the impression.
What I thought was a friend.
Who was a friend?
We got a couple. It's getting a little personal, but
Honey Bunny.
And we just got one more song to kind of get through because I told him I'd give you.
What
a
are we going? When
songs.
Is it my turn? Sorry, I don't know. None of them.
We
are
got
strong,
another
so.
'80s song again. We're looking for fresh voices in the DJ. All right, a little Duran Duran.
Well, let me tell you something. The boat on this video, that's called a schooner. Look at shit at her feet on that wood. She's gonna mark it up. I don't see any coasters, ladies. Look at all those empty bottles and glasses making rings on that wood.
Okay,
makes me lose my erection now. All right.
Yeah, all right.
You're looking at
hold
MTV.
On.
I'm CQ.
We have, can I just say, Colin, we got a lot of 14-year-old teeny boppers. They're not interested
you
in.
You two will have boobs like Jim.
They're not interested in refinishing teak. Do you understand?
No. No.
What I'm saying is you're
was
talking
that you
a lot
the
about,
puppet from Crank Anchors?
You're talking about the coasters on the deck of the boat.
Yeah, they're you know, it's going to leave rings.
You're saying the beer bottles are sweating on the teak deck and it's going to scar the teak. I'm saying we got 14-year-olds watching this thing
not in my stomach
from Muncie, Indiana. Do you understand?
You
they don't give two fucks about the teak on the deck of the boat. I'm sorry you're bringing this out of me.
It's getting hot on the block. Maybe you go to Dr. Dre.
You were recommended by a friend, okay?
Maybe if it's hot on the block.
I don't know the comedy scene.
This guy's popping
and I
off.
Sure as fuck don't know teak.
Yo, it's on.
All right,
kid.
But I do know Duran Duran.
CQ. Extreme.
And Duran Duran moves the needle.
You're damn right they do.
All right.
Simon Le Bon, don't get me started on that John Taylor on guitar.
All right. Ooh. You seem to know the names.
I'm filling shoes full with blood.
If we could do it one more time and not focus so much on the construction of the boat.
Gina, when was the last time you were really, submissive?
Okay. Let's do it. Let's try it one more time.
just like really just relinquish control. This is Duran Duran Rio.
There you go.
This is not a very good album. In fact, it's awful.
Oh, no.
But this song is, you know, girls on film, and this one. I talked over the words. We're going to start over, right?
No, no. I'm saying save the comment. Hit the post, but save the negative commentary.
Email us, which isn't invented yet, if you want double penetration, which you don't know what it is yet. You still think it means director of photography. I don't know. Look, we got some big news coming up. Here's Kurt Loder. He's a mummy.
All right, let's work
on that. Our big story tonight, Kurt's out of ice.
Let's work on the throws. Let's work on the throws.
All right. Just keep your hips low. It's easy.
The motels.
What do you mean?
The motels are going to play live in studio.
Only the lonely.
They're going to play the motels.
She's a whore.
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The motels are going to do a live in-studio acoustic set coming up at 6 Eastern. Okay.
I'll be out of here by then.
No, I'm saying just all go ahead and pop it down.
I'll stick around. I'm a company man, you know.
Let's
all right?
Just see what it sounds like when you're doing the promos.
Oh, here she comes. Look at that. Hold that ass. Why isn't she a solo act? What's she doing with these drips?
Okay, so the motels in studio, live acoustic set.
If I was in her band, she'd play victim.
Okay. But all right. Let's focus on the throws. you came very highly recommended for
all you want to do in a throw, really? Luke. You just keep your hips lower than the other guy. You can throw anybody.
Yeah, I'm not talking about wrestling. I'm talking about...
Look at her.
Okay, just motels, 6
p.m. Think she needs a daddy.
Eastern,
Corolla, get in there.
Live acoustic set.
Tell her Brian's real sick. And say, will you sign his mitt?
No, I don't... Okay. Colin, I feel like we've wasted enough of each other's time.
I said something earlier I can't forget. Last thing I said, when I almost fucking came... I have to write it down. Shit!
Remember what Trump did with Ali G.
He sold red hats. Of course I do.
My point is that's what's happening to me
right now.
He's
a haberdasher.
I feel like it's time for me to just get up and walk out of this studio.
All right, it's yours. Let me tell you something. When are we going to get to the hot block?
The hot block.
All right, now we're
the
talking.
Hot block. That's coming up at
3 p.m. Why don't we get some Puerto Rican girls with a little junk in the trunk after school? The 14-year-olds go, hey, you know what? I'm a big fat slob sitting here eating cookies, but look at Daisy Fuentes. That's like a big ass. And it's something like, I'm all right. I'm in the ballpark.
All right. No? Daisy Fuentes is one of our brightest stars in the MTV galaxy.
What I'm saying is she's desired by the 14-year-old set. They see her, you know, bigger assets because she's a Latina, whatever. You know, it is what it is. All stereotypes are true. The black guys, maybe, you know, who knows?
All right, Colin Quinn, I'm sorry, but we got a young Tracy Morgan who's
coming
here next.
Check out Martha Quinn without any panty lines.
Okay, again, you came highly recommended, Tracy.
Adam Hunter looks like...
I'm not familiar with the comedy scene.
You know, me and Mark Goodman last night, we were cheering on a rape.
You were cheering on a rape?
Yeah.
You
at the adult bookstore.
Mark Goodman is a dear friend of mine.
The adult bookstore on Stuyvesant.
You're at the adult bookstore with Mark Goodman of MTV. The Mark Goodman is going to come in here in 20 minutes and...
That was the section!
Okay. All right, so again, Tracy, I don't know about the comedy scene.
Yeah.
It's the early 80s, remember?
Who else remembers finger-fucking Portuguese girls on the handball course?
All right,
you know I do observational material because I'm a mammal, goddammit.
Right, what I need you to do...
Gina Grant has never been underwater.
You need to talk up a Duran Duran song. I'm looking for diversity here.
Girls on film means pornography, and that's what you're going to think you're watching when you see the bulge in Simon Le Bon's underpants next.
Okay.
That was perfect, Adam Carolla.
I was told that...
That was perfect.
I was told that we needed more diversity in the VJs.
All right.
Oh, I was told by a friend...
Hindu.
I was told by a friend that you're a hot, up-and-coming prospect on the comedy scene.
Yeah. I'm Jewish, and I do voodoo.
Okay. Obviously, I don't know a lot about the comedy scene, but I do know MTV.
That's music television. M is for mongrel.
Okay. So maybe we can just try talking up one Duran Duran song or a Dire Straits song or something.
Yeah, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing, and the Chicks for Free. That was the first lie in MTV history, because it ain't never free. They'll give you herpes, goddammit.
Okay. You know Colin Quinn?
He's out in the custody.
Hall. He's out in the hall there.
All right.
Yeah, maybe you could show him where to get the parking validated, and you could just go ahead.
Oh, you guys validate parking? All right.
Yeah.
Good. That's all. Could you give me $20? Because it is still $14 with the validation.
Colin, I feel like maybe Dire Straits is a band you'd be a little more familiar with.
I think maybe Dire Straits sucks. How's that? I think they stink in a stupid headband and his bare feet with his Peter Gabriel white suit. Where did he buy this outfit? Somebody, you know.
I think you're thinking of Mike and the Mechanics now.
Somebody woke up on a couch here.
All right.
All right. Look, it's MTV with Colin Quinn. Do me a favor.
Hold on.
And stay tuned for Club MTV. Oof.
With Pauly Shore.
Smell the chlamydia through the UHF. All right. Yeah. You know, I like this charge.
Martha Quinn is a great, great VJ.
Cripple because, pussy, stay wet, though.
Oh, because you have... Okay, you can't say any of these things in the mic, Tracy.
Yeah.
I brought in Colin Quinn because he shares the same last name as Martha Quinn, who's just an angel sent down from heaven to be a VJ on this station.
I have an image of Martha Quinn as being like the tiniest, most delicate, like beautiful little tiny thing.
Mm.
Even like as she gets older and whatever, it's like I just want to meet her so I can just hold her like I'm a baby
gonna
bunny in my hands.
I'm going to tease this.
But I am a daddy.
Who was the hottest on MTV back in the day? And I think it was the news. When they do the news breaks with the Swedish
Tabitha.
Chick.
Isn't it Tabitha Soren?
Oh, buddy.
Tabitha
Soren?
Don't say that.
It wasn't her, but she looked like her name should have been Tabitha Soren. Tabitha Soren wasn't her. The other one was the Swedish one.
I don't know about Swedish, but I can tell you from my era, of course, Daisy Fuentes, beautiful, but Karen Duffy, a.k.a. Duff.
Duff.
Gorgeous.
He was
gorgeous.
Duff might be the number one overall pick for this kid.
She made me a man.
Dallas fans around here?
What's not hot about that, Brian?
No, Serena
Altschul.
Altschul, yes.
Former Channel 1 news anchor.
She was the best. All right, let me hit Geico here, Jay. Let me hit Geico here, and then we'll keep this going at Geico.
Why should I know what you're talking about?
You want to save money, you go with Geico. You want to save 15% on top of the money you could already be saving already at geico.com. Save the extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Just go to geico.com to learn more at geico.com. All right, let's take a break.
This is Eddie Vedder.
Hold on.
Don't miss the Pearl Jam concert in relief for all those affected by worms in Jackson Lake.
All right. Eddie, we'll try you out as a MTV VJ, and we'll do that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.